Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I woke up one morning when I was 8 years old, sleeping on the top bunk of my bunk bed, terrified that there was a monster waiting to eat me just below on the bottom bunk. And it was irrational at this point. I mean, as 8 years old, I had not had really any real worry about monsters living under my bed for years, but for some reason I had this residual dream that just kind of stuck with me, and I was terrified that there was something waiting for me as soon as I jumped off that top bunk onto the floor. And it paralyzed me. I remember I sat up in bed, I was pinned against the wall, too afraid to even peek over the edge to see if there was anything at all. Completely terrified, worried that just inches away, this thing was waiting to get me. When I read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, when we get to this part of the sermon, do not worry, I always assume Jesus must not have ever had any monsters living under his bed. It is amazing what worry can do to us. It can immobilize us. It can paralyze us. It can motivate us. It can demotivate us. It can do so many different things. We have these emotional reactions to worrying. And when we come to a sermon as ridiculous as this, if I had come up with this sermon originally on my own and just told you that of all your problems that you face in your life, of all the things that keep you up at night, of all the things that stress you out and worry you, just don't worry about it. How unsatisfying that would be as a message of hope of the gospel. And yet Jesus is really bearing down into something in this word. Now, maybe it's because Jesus is the Son of God, he can get away with saying things like this. He seems to have a particular connection, a particular relationship with God that maybe we can kind of say, well, at least, you know, you're the Son of God, we're not you. Maybe we can worry just a little bit. And on the other hand, I don't think we should let Jesus off the hook just yet either. Jesus has some pretty long prayers in the Bible. He has some pretty long nights himself. In fact, on the night in which they came to arrest him, to put him on trial, to torture him, to kill him the next day, it talks about that Jesus was grieved and anguished even unto death. It says that he prayed with so fervently, so intensely, that the sweat as it dripped from his head was like great drops of blood. And if that's not Jesus worrying, I don't know if I want to see Jesus worrying. The intensity that Jesus felt. We've had long nights. We have worries. We have circumstances that we're going through and circumstances that we're looking ahead towards that worry us, that bear down on us. And as the gospel says, tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And when they start to pile on top of each other, one thing after another, we start to begin to lose sight of that horizon. We begin to lose sight of the hope that everything is going to work out in the end. They seem to stack on each other, one after another, until we either give up hope or we're so paralyzed with fear that we don't act at all anymore. See, but Jesus, as he was praying in the garden that night, in the midst of what I think the gospel portrays as Jesus' most worrisome hour, he did something different than I did when I was stuck on top of that bunk bed. Jesus got up, and Jesus went into what he was worried about. He didn't let it stop him. He didn't even let it slow him down. He stood up and he continued to walk into the very thing that anguished him, that gave him such distress, that he prayed over time and time again. And he continued to walk into a future because he knew that God and hope and salvation was just on the other side. It was so close. The temptation with this scripture, and it was my temptation when I first read it this week, and when I read it a second time and a third time, and several days when I looked at it this week, to just focus on the commandment, do not worry. How many of us worry about anything? How many would classify yourself as a worrier? It's part of some of our identity. We call ourselves that. And the very things that Jesus tells us not to worry about. Who's ever worried about what they were going to wear? Who's ever worried about what they were going to eat? Or those things are natural to us. They're the very core of who we are as individuals. But the real lesson and the gospel truth is buried down towards the end of the passage that was read. When worry is a reaction that we have, but when we let it dominate our minds, Jesus says that's the real tragedy. Because instead of worrying, we should be doing something else. It's almost as if to say that we don't have time to worry as the children of God, because instead our minds are to be put towards the things of God, to be put towards the kingdom of God. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the more that I thought about worrying this week as the destination that we sometimes stop at, that immobilizing fear that I felt as an 8-year-old on the top bunk of my bed, that stress that has kept me up in the middle of the night thinking about my children or about money or about jobs, any worry that I've faced has the temptation of becoming a destination. But the gospel message is that worry is just the first step in God achieving a miracle. It's just the first step in God doing something incredible. Because anything that we face in this life, there is more hope on the other side. The number of troubles that you can count in your life, there are more blessings on the other side. And as powerless as we ever feel, there is a power within us that is greater than we have ever experienced in this life. The very life and the very Spirit of God living with us. And so Jesus, as he rose up off the ground in praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, I almost had this image this week that of all this sweat and pouring into this moment that he had in prayer, almost that as he stood up, he wiped his brow and he continued on, because he knew that there was something greater on the other side. Now, as an 8-year-old, I had to come to a decision of whether I was going to jump off that top bunk onto my floor in my room. And I eventually did. And what I did was I kind of positioned myself so that when I jumped, I kind of did a half turn so I could see what was kind of coming at me. And nothing was there. Nothing was there at all. It was a monster that I'd imagined, that I had built up bigger than it ever could have been in reality. It was a figment of my imagination, and when I finally turned and jumped and faced it, it turned out that I was already on the other side of it. And as the children of God, when we pursue after God's righteousness and when we pursue after the things of God, any worry that we have built up and any worry that we have settled upon will soon dissolve as we experience the hope that Jesus has for us. Because there is a kingdom waiting for us on the other side of anything that tries to interrupt us or anything that tries to twist our attitudes otherwise. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks for your kingdom. Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your strength and your courage, because, Lord, we do worry despite every commandment that you've given us. Lord, we worry about tomorrow. We worry what we'll wear. We worry about what we eat. But, Lord, we do not worry that you're not with us. We do not worry about tomorrow because we have a hope and a life that is greater than any other. Allow us to have your mind, Lord. Allow worry not to be the final destination, but the first step, Lord, in what you are about to do in our lives. Allow it to be a work of your kingdom that allows us to prepare for the things ahead, but continue moving in the direction that you have ordained us to move. Allow us to move in the direction of your kingdom, that we might have an attitude of hope once again, as we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.